whole, complete human being, body, soul, and spirit, heart, mind, soul, and strength, you know? So he wants to save all of you. And he doesn't want to just heal you either, physically, you know? He is interested in doing that. You know, and we do see healings from time to time, don't we? But we don't see them all the time. But he's not just interested in your physical side either. He cares about who you are in your heart, in your inner being. So he's interested in all of us. And one day, all of us, you know, all of us will be saved. The whole of me, the whole of you, will be renewed, just like Jesus was renewed in the resurrection. So he uses this word, can you come and save my daughter? And Jesus is, yes, I can, I will, I want to save your daughter. I want to make her well. And so he does. He sets off. And of course, you know, we know how the story ends in Jesus' death and resurrection. But this is like a mini death and resurrection, if you like. A mini salvation within the larger salvation. But anyway, he sets off with Jairus to meet his daughter. And then, and then suddenly the story is interrupted with this other story. And we have to put that one on hold. And you get the filling of the sandwich. And it's this woman in the crowd. And she, this, like I say, this street is absolutely spammed with people. Jesus is having to jostle and force his way through almost, you know, and people are bumping into him and nudging him and grabbing hold of him. And in the middle of it all, this woman who is not really allowed to be there because she is, according to the laws of the day, she's unclean. I mean, you know, if Jairus' daughter dies, and she does, she's unclean too. And here's this unclean woman. And uncleanliness in that faith system is not so, you can't do it. You can't go there. You cannot touch someone unclean. You can't be with someone unclean because it will make you unclean. But for Jesus, it's the opposite. If Jesus touches someone unclean, they become clean rather than their uncleanliness making Jesus unclean. It's like, nah. Jesus' love, his salvation, his power, his sozo, you know, his is so great, it flows out from him and cleanses what's around him. So you get this unclean woman who's bleeding internally for how long? 12 years. It's so cool, isn't it? The same length of time that Jairus' daughter's been alive. So this sandwich, you know, really neat. It all, the flavors sort of permeate through each other, as it were. So 12 years, the whole time that this girl's been alive, this woman has been bleeding. And she's ashamed, she's embarrassed, she can't really show her face, but she's in this crowd, and she just thinks, if I just touch even the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be saved, is the word. I'll be made well, but in the Greek it's saved. I'll be saved. And she reaches out and touches it. And then she just instantly knows she's healed. She knows she's healed. And Jesus feels the power go out of him and turns around and says these crazy words. Who touched me? And everyone's looking at him. Who plays rugby here? Or used to play rugby here? All right, I want six rugby players up in the middle here. Quick. Eight if we can get them. Come on, Steve. Did you put your hand up, Harold? Come on, quickly. Sam used to play rugby, my son. Come on, Sam. Yeah. Oh, they are going to... Oh, yeah, COVID. Oh, crap. Sorry. Okay, we're gonna do COVID rugby. Here we go. Yeah, elbows. Stand as you would in a scrum position if you can. But this isn't... This illustration, you're just going to have to do some imagining here. Now... What are the current words? They're changing it every few years, but what do you say? Pause, what is it? Engage. Yeah. Hold lock. Yeah, hold, lock, engage. Yeah, and then everyone goes in, don't they? So just go, you know, in there you go. And you've got to imagine, obviously, they've all got their hands around each other and all that sort of thing, but COVID, poo, yeah, all right. And then one of you goes, who touched me? Hang on, someone's touching me. That's not okay. All right, you can go and sit down. But it's just crazy. How can you say who touched me when there's all these people jostling you? It's like a rugby scrum. And it's worse than a rugby scrum. It's like a rugby scrum that turned into a mall, and then everyone just dived in. You know, right, let's just crunch in there. And who touched me? How can Jesus say that? What's different about this woman's touch that is not the same as everyone else's touch, jostling? You know, even Jesus' mates, you know, his disciples or his friends. What's the difference? Something, yeah? Yeah, it's this. She is absolutely dependent on Jesus. She is crying out in that one touch. She can't even speak. She's too embarrassed. She's too ashamed. All she can do is reach out and touch Jesus. She doesn't use words. But that desperation, that absolute dependence on Jesus, and that's all she needs. And Jesus says, you know, who touched me? And they bring her, or she owns up. She comes and she says everything that happened. And Jesus says to her, daughter. And that's a really lovely, intimate family kind of language that he uses with her. You know, this one who has been outcast, who you've all not gone near because she's unclean, I'm calling daughter. Daughter, your faith has made you well, has saved you. So go, you know, go and be well. Go and be saved. It's wonderful, isn't it? Beautiful, beautiful picture. And it's that intimacy, if you like. It's that touch. It's that desperation. There's a difference. We can jostle around Jesus, can't we? You know, we can kind of go through the motions with Jesus. And many of us do, and that's not wrong, necessarily. As long as at some point we reach out and touch him. And just in our desperation, in that moment where we know no one else can save us, no one else can really, truly help us. No one else can get to the core of who we are and where we're at and our longing and our crying out and our desperation. And we fall on Jesus. We just reach out and touch him. You know, you only need, Jesus calls that faith. Jesus calls that faith. Faith is a tricky word for some of us. Some of us grew up in sort of surroundings where we heard the word faith and you have to kind of have faith and muster up, you know, have faith or you won't be healed, have faith or you won't be this or won't be that, you know, and you've kind of got to have this kind of thing called faith and you're like, well, what is it exactly? How do I get faith? How do I have faith? How do I muster up faith? Jesus isn't interested in any of that. He just wants you and me to touch him, and he calls that faith. When we reach out and we go, I need you, help. The word help. That's faith, Jesus says. Your faith. He'll look at you and me when we do that. He'll say, your faith has made you well, has saved you. That's faith is small as a mustard seed, as Jesus put it. That's all you need. There's a wonderful, wonderful line in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, where he says, even when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny his own. His own is you and me. We belong to him. He's bought us with a price. Even when we're faithless, so even if we feel like I have no faith, he doesn't stop being faithful to you and to me. Faith is small. All we need to do is just go, help, help. And that power, that energy will flow. Even when we're faithless, he is faithful and will not deny his own. Isn't that wonderful? Our God is incredible. And it does, you know, it's like that moment, and I've probably said it before in the Narnia books, if you've read them, where they're trapped in that sea of darkness, sea of night, you know, and it's just pitch black. They can't see a thing, cannot see anything in front of them, behind them, can't see the hand in front of their own face. It's so completely, it's like midnight with no moon and, you know, nothing. And then you're inside a thing with no sealed walls and no light. It's just completely dark. And they can't find their way out of this sea, this dark sea. And so, and Lucy cries out, "Aslan, Aslan, if ever you have loved us, come and save us now." That's all she can do. No hope whatsoever. Complete hopelessness. And she cries out, and her words just disappear. Aslan, Aslan, it's like crying out to God, and your words disappear. If ever you've loved us, come and save us now. And she feels nothing afterwards. And then she sees this small dot, this little white speck appear, and it grows larger and larger. And it's an albatross. And this albatross, as sailors know, you know, is supposed to lead sailing ships out of danger and stuff and into a good place. So they follow this albatross. And the albatross leads them out, and they cross this line back into glorious day. You know, quite a bit of blackness to get through, quite a bit of darkness of nighttime, and then suddenly they're in the day. And it's like that sometimes when we cry out to God. That's all we can do, help. And we might not feel anything. But that energy, that love, that power, the Spirit of God will flow from Christ into us. And he says, you know, that's faith. Just that cry, that's faith. And it's the beginning of where hope can grow and get bigger and bigger, and then we can be led out of darkness into light. And that's what happens to this woman, and it all happens to her very quickly. Sometimes it's a bit slower in real life. But that was real life, sorry. You know, sometimes in real life it's quick, and sometimes in real life it's slow. But it's there, it's always there. And Jesus responds to that touch. So you get that woman being healed. don't know if you've noticed as well, but in Mark's gospel, he's quite scathing, Mark, about the physician. You know, he's spent all his money on physicians, and, you know, she was badly treated, and she it didn't get well, and, you know, really rubs it all in. Luke, when he tells the story, you know, is a little bit kinder on physicians, because Luke was probably a physician himself. And he kind of doesn't say all the bad things about physicians that Mark does, which is quite an interesting little thing. You know, I love the way that the different flavors of people, because God loves people, come out even in the Gospels and the way they're written, you know. That Mark flavors that one, and Luke flavors that one, because they wrote them, you know, but they're about Jesus, same person. Anyway, so you've got this sandwich, and then you get the other bit of the bread, as it were, which is back to the Jairus story. And I love this bit where Jesus, you know, they get there. The messengers come and say, "Your daughter's died, don't bother. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Don't bother Jesus anymore with this." And Jesus hears them say that and says, don't listen to that. He says, only believe, just believe, you know. And so whether or not this guy is believing and he's just seen something amazing happen, even when we're faithless, he is faithful. Who knows what state that guy was in, Jairus. But he gets there, and Jesus just takes Peter, James, John, and I think the mum and dad, doesn't he, into the room. Everyone else is out. And you get these wonderful words. So this is just a beautiful kind of window into the historic, what was really going on. Because you get the Aramaic there. Talitha kum. Little girl, I say to you, get up. It's the sort of thing you'd say in the morning, you know, to your daughter. Talitha kum in Aramaic means, you know, come on, get up. Time to wake up. It's daytime. And the Aramaic is the common language that Jesus would have spoken. It's almost certain that Jesus and the disciples would have known Greek and been able to speak it, because that was the sort of general language and trading language and all that kind of thing. But in everyday life, they would have spoken their kind of home tongue, which would have been Aramaic. And we get a couple of Aramaic words in the New Testament, and this is one of them. And I just think the reason is because the disciples were so in awe of what happened at that moment. Whenever they told that story, they'd be telling it in Greek so that everyone could understand wherever they came from, because Greek's a common language. They'd get to that bit and they'd just say Talitha kum, because those are the words Jesus used. Not because they're magic words, just because they're beautiful, because it's beautiful, because like that's the real life. That's what Jesus actually said. That happened, you know? And Talitha kum, such a lovely, normal thing to say, you know? Okay, time to get up, you know? Time to get up, little girl. That they say it in the Aramaic. And then they translate it, you know? So Talitha kum, that's what Jesus said, you know? Little girl, I say to you, get up. It's beautiful. And you just get this window into the actual, you know, what Jesus said and did. It's so good. I mean, the whole thing is a great report of what Jesus said, but that is so intimate and so beautiful. And that's the way that Jesus speaks to people again and again. Daughter, I say to you, your faith has made you well. You know, little girl, I say to you, get up. Come on, time to get up. It's morning. You know, she's just asleep and everyone laughs at him. You know, she's dead and he knows it. But she treats her, all that love, like she's just asleep. Little girl, I say to you, get up. And he's really practical. Go and give her something to eat, you know. She's going to be hungry. So, you know, just that care and that love that Jesus has for you and me. So I love this story, this Mark and sandwich, where you've got that outer bit and that inner bit, the 12 years linking them, the faith linking them, the fact that Jesus is really intimate. You know, there's all this stuff going on, and he zooms in on the person, on you and me, as it were. You know, we can jostle around Jesus, but when we reach out and cry out to him, and we know that we're desperate, we need him, he will hear us. He calls that faith. And he says, you are saved. You know, your faith has made you well. So let's be those who cry out to Jesus, who touch him. Yeah. I know someone just the other day who got up in the middle of the night because they couldn't sleep, anyone been there, because things were really getting to them. They're carrying a lot of stuff. And they got up four in the morning or something like that, and they just sat there and they just cried out to God. You know, they've been praying about this stuff for ages, and they've been talking about it to friends for ages, but in that moment there was no one else around. It's the middle of the night and they just cried out to God, and they tell me they just felt instantly, not everything was solved, but inside they knew that Jesus was with them. And they suddenly had strength to face all the things they needed to face. They didn't just have strength, they had a kind of solidity in them where they knew that Christ was with them, that they're in Christ and Christ is in them. And they knew that, as Julian Avorich says, you know, all is well and all shall be well. You know, no matter what goes on, no matter what happens, they knew that that touch of Christ in their lives that strengthened them, that healed them, that saved them, as it were. Does that make sense? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are so full of love, so full of grace, so full of power. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are so generous. You don't keep any of that love, grace, or power to yourself, but you share it with people. We thank you, Lord, that rather than unclean things making you unclean and you having to avoid the unclean, you touch those who are unclean. And when we are unclean and we touch you, you make us clean. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that your grace saves us. And that when we just cry out to you, you call that faith. And by that, we're saved. By your grace reaching out to us and flowing out from you, by our calling out to you. We thank you, Lord, that even when we're faithless, you are faithful. And that you never disown us, because we belong to you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness. We just pray for ourselves, for our friends, for those who we hold in prayer before you, that you would give us that grace to reach out and touch you, to just call out to you when we need to, Lord, and that we would know that healing, saving, restoring grace and presence of you, Jesus, from you in our lives, each one of us, and those whom we love and hold before you. And we ask these things in your wonderful name. Amen. Amen.
You'd like to stand.